This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, We Serve a Great God.
The sermon this morning is entitled, We Serve a Great God. Not everybody agrees. Richard Dawkins wrote a book. It's entitled, God is Not Great. Atheists believe that we're delusional because we believe that God is great. After all, haven't you searched through the Bible and find out all the ways in which God is great? I don't find that. People go about the world blowing people up, speaking in another language that basically says God is great, and then all of a sudden you hear kaboom. I don't believe that. I don't believe in that. We serve a great God. We're going to look at that great God in Psalm 145 this morning. This is a psalm written by King David, and it's said to be his favorite psalm. It's titled David's Psalm of Praise. And I'd like to lift the lid and focus on the portions that point to us, in fact, that we do serve a great God. So turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Let's stand. Let's stand as we read the psalm, Psalm 145. Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear thy cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all the flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 1 says an astonishing thing. David, the king, calls God my God. He is a personal God. He is not the God of a particular denomination, an organized religion. He's not the state-certified God. He is your God. He is your personal and intimate God. Do you realize that that is a minority understanding of deity? That you have to go to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who hung on the cross, the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, to realize that we can have a personal relationship with God, that he looked down upon you when you received Christ as Lord and Savior. He calls you his son and calls you his daughter. You can't do that to a monument, a statue, a historical religion. It can only be to a personal God. God is your God. Can you say with me this morning, God is my God. God is my God. He is your God this morning. And that's different than any other God in the world. Verse 1 also says that God is King David's king. All are subject to the sovereign God of the Bible. He's the God of the king, and he's the God of the servant. He's the God of the rich, and he's the God of the poorest among us. He's the God of the insider, and he's the God of the outsider. He is your God. If you receive him as your Lord and Savior, he's not interested in your past. Your past has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God said, if you confess that, he will remember it never again. This is the God who can't forget, who chooses to forget your past, but wants you to learn from your past. Someday, every godless dictator, terrorist, rapist, murderer, and child molester will bow before our God in judgment. He alone is worthy of our praise, adoration, and worship. Verse 2, King David says, he blesses and praises the Lord every day. Every day. Think about that. A growing, maturing relationship with Christ is not just about Sunday. It's not about Christmas. It's not about Easter alone. The Sunday only for 1 hour brand of Christianity is not a relationship. It's an event. It's not about punching in our time card and doing our thing for this 1 hour. That's not a relationship with the God who wants a relationship with you. That's going someplace and sitting for an hour and receiving some words and then walking out the door just as if you'd never been here. God wants a relationship with you, and that's more than just for 1 hour a week. What kind of a relationship would it be if you were with your spouse or your children for just 1 hour a week? And don't look at me like that. What are you thinking? But can you imagine never talking to your husband, never talking to your wife, never talking to your children? And then you get say, listen, we get together every Sunday at 11 and we talk. What kind of a relationship is that? Growth comes when we make, spiritual growth comes when we make a conscious effort to do what David did every single day. He remembers God. He says in verse 1 to God, I will exalt you. I will lift you up. I will lift you high. I will look to you. He says, I will praise you. I will praise you with my lips. I will praise you with my life. I will praise you with my behavior. I realize I'm not perfect. I realize I'm not going to make it every day. I realize there are going to be times when I fall flat on my face, but I'm going to get up by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know you're going to dust me off, and I'm going to walk and praise your name. In verse 2, he said, I will bless and praise your name. There is no other name written among men whereby you must be saved. There's no other way to God except through Christ Jesus. Verse 5 said, I will speak of your glorious works. In other words, he wasn't going to be quiet about his relationship with God. We cannot be quiet about our relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot be undercover Christians. We have to be above board. People have to know that we love Jesus Christ. They have to see it first. And then they have to hear from us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak up. Don't be ashamed. The world would like you to be quiet. But, you know, again, we have to go cross culture. We have to go against the current. If we're going to be Christians in 2016 in a culture that really disdains everything we love and holds everything that we hold sacred in an ugly way, we're going to have to stand up and be counted for the cause of Jesus Christ by how we live our life and how we respond to the culture by our life and by our words. In verse 3, David tells us, the Lord is great. His greatness is unsearchable. It never ends. David writes that God's greatness is visible. He says he's visible by his mighty acts and his wondrous works. Hebrews 1:10 puts it this way, Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. We see the beauty of creation all around us. We see the diversity and variety of creation in all living things. And this amazingly demonstrates that behind all of this complexity, there had to be intelligence. There has to be some mind behind all of this. Just looking at yourself in the mirror this morning. Was that startling, by the way? Is that a little frightening? But just looking at yourself in the mirror this morning, do you realize this face serves a function? Do you realize your eyes are miraculous? Still hard for science to get their arms around to understand how the eye works or how the rest of the body functions in the way that it does. God is great and God is amazing. This amazing complex creation demonstrates life was not born out of chaos, not born out of chance. Rather, life was born on this planet out of order and intelligence because God is in the details. And we see his fingerprints even in the highly complex single cell. We see the great terrible power of created nature, which washes away all human efforts with a wave or a blast of the wind, and in a moment, a city is destroyed. We're looking at tornadoes in the Midwest, and you see the power of these tornadoes to just rip up a whole town and just flatten it. I remember years ago when I was in business, going out to Ohio, and I had to introduce our product line. I got a new dealer, a great dealer, Jeff knows what I'm talking about, an office furniture dealer. He had about 20 satellite dealerships all over the state of Ohio, and I went to introduce each one of those satellites to our product line. And I remember going to one town, I went to this diner for lunch as I went along the road, and it was a town that had been blown away by a big tornado. Took the entire town. The entire town was gone. And they had pictures all over the diner of what that town looked like before and after. It was amazing. The power of a tornado. We can't even get our minds around why that is. But in it, we just see a fingerprint of how powerful God is. God uses the power of nature to reveal our human weakness. How can we stand up against a tornado? What is it that man could possibly do that could equal the great force of nature? God allows the power of nature to reveal the fragile hold that we have on life. He uses nature to remind us of his awesome power and to point us back to him in times of desperation and despair. I asked the waitress, "What did you folks do after that horrible situation?" She said, "We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we asked God for a miracle." And I said, "Did he answer?" She said, "We rebuilt our town." Verse 8 and 9, the Lord is great in mercy, compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. His mercy is demonstrated by his patience with a rebellious humanity. Isn't it weird? And isn't it ironic that human beings are the only ones who shake a fist at God? The rest of nature obeys his command. The wind and the waves obey his command. The bird's song is orchestrated by the Lord. We sit out on the deck and listen to the sound of birds, and they're all distinctly different, and realize it's God who gave the robin his song. But we shake our fist at God. When God tells the robin to sing, he does. When God tells us to sing, we say, "I don't feel like it." We are a rebellious people. Saying "one nation under God" has come in our country to be unconstitutional. Praying in school is unconstitutional. Displaying a nativity scene is unconstitutional. Displaying the Ten Commandments is unconstitutional. But killing the unborn, that's constitutional. Vulgarity, obscenity, blasphemy, pornography, found ways to make those constitutional. When Israel demanded a human king, the prophet Samuel was distressed. But God reminded Samuel, "Hey, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They rejected me." When they don't want the Ten Commandments to be displayed, but they don't want prayer in the school, they're not talking about the Ten Commandments. They're not talking about prayer. They're talking about God. They're rejecting him, his authority, his laws, and his promises. God's great mercy allows him to be slow to anger with an arrogant people. You know, there are people who really want God to send a thunderbolt and wipe everybody out. God doesn't want to do that. God is slow to anger. Verse 7 and 9. God's greatness is demonstrated by his goodness. He's good to all. That goodness is expressed by what Ephesians 2:4 calls his great love, wherein he loved us. How much love? John 3:16, our favorite verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's been telling people for centuries that he loved them. And then he decided he was going to come down here and show them. And he showed them on the cross. How much love do I have for you? How much do I love you? I'll show you. Look to the cross. How much love do I have for you? Look to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We'll remember these things tonight at Love Feast. We encourage you to come to Love Feast and share the bread and the cup, to share a time of a meal, and to share the washing of one another's feet. We want you to come to that. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And he goes on to say, I call you my friends. God's great goodness is made visible by what Hebrews 12:3 calls so great a salvation. This salvation comes through Christ Jesus alone. It's a free gift to anybody who'll receive it. And a free gift, by definition, can't be earned. It's not ours because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did on Calvary. This great salvation is not about being in the right religion. It's not about being in the right denomination. It's not about being in the right church or in the right pew. Rather, it's about being with the right person. And that right person is Jesus Christ. Being a brethren doesn't save you. Being a Christian who is brethren does. Being a follower of Jesus Christ saves you. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he that has the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. You have it or you don't have it. Is Jesus in you? Have you asked Christ to come into your heart? If you have, if you've confessed your sin, he's there. And he's never going to leave you. God is no respecter of person. His salvation is for you. God's goodness is also expressed in Psalm 119 and verse 165, the great peace which he extends to the believer. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, how do I get through the stressful times of life? How do I get through my current issue? How do I get through my current circumstance? Well, one of the ways you can do that is to be completely absorbed by it. You can dwell on it. You can roll it around over and over in your mind. You can let it sink in. You can talk about it. You can repeat it. You can think about it. You can do all that. And let me tell you, you're never going to get out of the rut. It's got you. But the Bible says that perfect peace comes when you focus or refocus your mind on the Lord. We all have to go through these difficult circumstances, but where's your focus going to be? My focus is going to be on the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's going to get me through this. I'm going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. I'm going to claim those promises. I'm not going to abandon them in time of need and give over to my fears. I'm not going to abandon those promises and give over to my weaknesses. I'm not going to abandon his promises and give over to the stress and the circumstance and however ugly the facts may be. I'm going to give it over to him and allow him to carry the load with me. Cast your care upon me, he said. I care for you. Cast your burdens on me. Your yoke, your load may be heavy, but I can take that yoke and I can share it with you. If you're going through a hard time, you'll never make it without Christ Jesus. If you're going through a hard time, you will make it. You will get to the other side. Wherever the other side is, God will get you there. He's not going to abandon you in this time. Listen to the words of H.G. Wells, a famous writer. You may remember he wrote the book, The War of the Worlds. And this is what he says. Here I am at 65, still seeking for peace. Still seeking for peace. There is no peace outside of Christ. Here's what Billy Graham wrote. Christ alone can bring lasting peace, peace with God, peace among people and nations, and peace within your heart. If you want peace in your heart through the storm, you've got to call out to Christ and claim the promise he made. My peace, not as the world gives you, give you my peace. Claim that peace. His goodness is expressed in verse 14. The Lord upholds all that fall. When the believer backslides, when the believer sins, when the believer falls, and when the believer fails, God doesn't abandon us. Suffer consequences of our sin? Of course. We will have to give an account of our service and our works and our words before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Will unconfessed sin or covered up sin make us feel alienated from God? Of course. If your relationship with the Lord this morning is not a close relationship, not a short account, you may feel uneasy in your relationship with the Lord. That's a consequence of not being in his shadow. That's a consequence of not walking hand in hand with the Lord. He's there. He didn't walk away. The only people who can walk away from that relationship is you and me. And when we do, we feel ill ease. We wonder where peace is. We wonder where joy is. But when we stay close to the Lord and we cry out to the Lord, we find that wellspring of peace and love and joy. But in his great mercy and his great goodness, he stands with his arms open to receive us unto himself and forgive us when we confess, repent, and make retribution for our sin. Verse 17 says this, and he raises up all those that are bowed down. This morning, are you bowed down? That means bent over. Why would people get bent over? Well, if you have a big, heavy, like a lot of these high school and college kids have, they have these huge knapsacks on the back. I think they're carrying a desk in there. If you're not bent over because of that, you get bent over because you're carrying the burdens of the day. And they want to wear you down. And you just feel you can't stand upright because the stress and the heaviness of what you're carrying is so powerful that it's got you bent over. God says he upholds those who are bent over. Has pessimism overpowered your optimism? Has life become dull and routine? Are you fearful or tearful? Has someone or something stolen your joy? Don't allow these negatives or other aspects of life to take your eyes off Jesus. Peter stayed above the waves as long as his eyes were fixed on Christ. As long as you've got him in your sights, you will stay up. As soon as you take your eyes off Christ, you'll fall under the waves. You'll feel like you're drowning. You'll feel overwhelmed. Lord, pull me up. Lift me up. Hold me up. Let my feet get dry. That's a promise he wants to give yourself. Don't allow yourself to lose sight of your great God. Your God and King is the God of great goodness. He's the God of great mercy and grace. He's the God of great salvation. He's the God of great peace. He's the God of great unfailing love. I want you to remember this morning that you and I and we together as the body of Christ around the world, we serve a great God. Amen? You serve a great God. It's not the size, as has been said, it's not the size of your problem or your circumstance. It's the size of your God. And you serve a God that's greater than anything. And with God, with that great God, all things are possible. Victory is yours. Don't let go. Hang on. Let's pray. Thank you, God, you don't pick winners and losers. You give us the privilege to come. Whosoever will may come. It's a choice. I thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have once we've made the choice for Jesus to be inheritors of all that he has to offer. There was nothing we could do to gain our salvation. There's nothing we can do to lose it. But there's something that we can do to grow in it, and that's to work out our salvation, to live each day praising you and loving you and living for you, and not just on Sundays and not just for an hour, but to make you the cornerstone, the center stone, the mystic mainspring of our lives, to be at the center, to be on the throne, to be the one who is the one. And Father, we pray this morning for all of us, myself included, that we would put you on the throne of our life, because you are a great God, and you alone are worthy to be praised. Amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.